At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we hear in the world something else. We can leave any day and call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out.
Bracket Madness Challenge. Number five from Mapes Madness. Mapes Madness is number five. So an expert here. So if you got college basketball questions, call in and ask Sean. He'll get you squared away for the Sweet 16 as we had that solidified last night. And we also have some news regarding Sean's favorite program. They have confirmed that they're firing Rodney Terry and they've made a hire. And so we'll talk about that at some point today as well. Okay, so I was watching the most important game of the weekend for me at least, Gonzaga. Remember to say Gonzaga. I said Gonzaga several times in a social video. Not great if we care about pronunciations of teams from the state of Washington. But the game itself was one where it kind of played out how I thought it might early, where the Zags didn't shoot the ball well from three. They had not shot the ball well from three against tournament teams outside of a game early in the year against Baylor. But for the most part, they had struggled against the tournament teams. They played St. Mary's three times, played Kentucky, and they played UCLA. They lost four of those games. They actually beat St. Mary's in the tournament final, conference tournament final, going 1-for-15. So I thought that would play out. Just better athletes, better defenses, they wouldn't get those shots up. And hell, they're not a great three-point shooting team, period, but they were great against Georgia. And starting off 3-for-12, you're like, did my research feel pretty good? And then they caught fire. I think they finished making 6 out of 8 or so, something like that, and it kept them in the game. And to think about that game as a whole, from L.J. Crier being the answer for the Cougs anytime they needed a shot, helped them get out to a good lead early, to JoJo Tugler. That flagrant foul could have been one of those. Remember when JoJo Tugler committed a flagrant foul and the Cougs lost the second round game? They were up by 14 with the ball. It felt like one of those for a little bit, because immediately afterwards, besides two free throws, they knocked down a three, and then the Cougs don't score on the next possession, I believe, and then Gonzaga scores again. So they go from up 14 with the ball to up 7. But they held the lead until it got pretty late, and they decided to sit on it a little bit. This was even before Gonzaga started pressuring them and trying to trap them. The Cougs kind of stopped playing offense. They were running clock, and that set them up for the passivity that the traps and the pressures and Gonzaga pulled, and it led to the comeback. Credit the Zags, maybe underseeded as an 8 seed, and they certainly played like a team who could have made an Elite Eight and certainly could have made a Sweet 16 down the stretch. They did almost everything right except for Battle getting caught in the corner and having a shot blocked. Other than that, they played a perfect last 4 minutes to stay in the game, but it was not enough. The Cougs' lead was big enough to hold on. So they're in another Sweet 16, and I think I talked about it last week, to enjoy what this team is. And sure, you want to win a national title. You've kind of been on the doorstep for a while. Of course, the first step is making that Final Four, but that game, which turned from, okay, this feels pretty good, to, oh no, I can't believe we're about to blow this, to hanging on and winning, those are the moments you should be taking in and saying, this is why I root for this basketball team. There have been some disappointments brought on by injury, but the team as a whole generally is going to provide you with moments in March, and now they're in a Sweet 16 again. And we'll hear from Kelvin Sampson here shortly about what that means. He wants to implore people who root for this team to understand what it means to get to this point and appreciate it. He doesn't want you to become pompous. In fact, he uses that word. Kelvin Sampson on getting to another Sweet 16.
I appreciate it more. You know, I think as you get older, you realize that this is not easy. And I told our fans, I hope they never get so pompous and arrogant that they think this is a God-given right. It's hard to do this. It's hard to win a game. Forget in the tournament, in the regular season. You know, we started a year off 4-3. And the good thing is that we knew exactly where we needed to go. But you can't put your season in a old VHS machine and hit fast forward. You have to hit play.
That's right, everyone. I know the goal is to go win a title, but you actually have to take the steps, and he's telling you. And some of the stuff that coaches say is trite, but when you are a college program who can consistently tell your fans, we're going to be in that second weekend, that is an accomplishment, and the fans should, I think, at least enjoy it, because you never know. You never know what happens when you get to this point in the tournament, and they're going to be pretty much playing a road game in their next game. It's a late game on Friday. They play Purdue in Indianapolis. It's not the greatest draw in the world for the Cougs. They are the furthest distance away of all the teams in the regional. Their campus to Indianapolis, just the product of how the sites are set up. Because you know what? A couple years ago, they had a shot to play in the Final Four at home, but they lost in the Sweet 16. So no one would have been complaining then. Of course, as a number one seed, it kind of sucks to have to play what people are going to call a road game against Purdue. But I don't think the Cougs mind. They'll go out there and play hard and play their best. I don't think the Purdue crowd in Lucas Oil Field is going to matter very much.
In half of Lucas, because they're playing it in like half of the field.
Yeah, half of it. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, what's new? The NCAA trying to rig it against U of A.
What else is new? Jamal Shedd, they pulled the injury card on him last year. They did that on purpose.
Yep.
All the things. Another obstacle in the way that they have to overcome. And they, at least at this point in the tournament, always, it feels like under Kelvin Sampson, overcome that first weekend. Now, it's the next step. Haven't been to a Final Four in a little bit since they lost to Baylor during the COVID year, or at least the year right after COVID hit. They got a real shot. LJ Cryer was great. That's one of those performances where you're like, okay, that's what it means to have a guy who's been around so damn long that nothing's going to matter to him. And shot after shot, the mid-range jumpers, knocking down threes. It was the performance that kind of kept Gonzaga at bay, even with their run. So there it is, Cougs to the Sweet 16, and we will see what happens in Indy. No predictions now. I'm not afraid of Purdue, though.
Whoa.
Do I see a Zach Edey out there? No. No, I ain't afraid. I ain't afraid of them.
Don't get too.
I said I'm not
don't
afraid.
Get too pompous.
I acknowledge what happened. Was an accomplishment on Saturday. I'm not pompous. I'm just saying I'm not fearful. That's all. I wasn't afraid of Gonzaga, and if they hadn't shot remarkably well in the second half, my lack of fear would have been correct. It did get a little tight though.
There was some fear.
Yeah, there was some fear late
when you're like, hey, Cougs, let's score a buck in the last 4 minutes.
At some point,
let's make a two.
When you're trying to hold a team off and that haven't scored a field goal in 4 minutes and counting, things starts to pop up in a game. It's like, oh no. Yeah, I knew it was going poorly, but this is evidence on my screen of how poorly this is going.
College basketball broadcasters love the zero field goals with the running clock of like
they
6 minutes.
It.
Wait, it's been a quarter of this half? And
they have not made a field goal. It's one
there's
of
only
the,
40 minutes in this game. They haven't made a field goal for eight of them?
It's one of the tried and true things that pops up, and they love it. They love referencing it. The graphics people love putting it up, and it's like a kick in the the teeth if, you, because if you're rooting for the team.
It's always when the other team is making a run.
Yeah.
And you're like, yeah, we know.
Yeah,
we know.
Thanks for defining my misery. It says four. It felt like 30. And with timeouts, who knows how actually long it was. So they win, though. And the cliche survive in advance certainly held true on Saturday night. And another late game. They're going to be playing really late. I think it's right around 9 o'clock our time when that tips off. It is what it is.
What about the kids?
On a Friday?
No. But what about the kids?
What about them? You know what Michael Jordan says about them kids.
I know. Apparently the NCAA says it too.
You mean the college kids? Or I thought you meant Coug fans who are kids.
Oh, them too. Oh.
You meant the college kids?
Yeah.
What about them?
They got finals.
It's Friday
up.
Night.
They got to study.
What would they be doing on a Friday night if they weren't playing basketball? They would not be studying.
Yeah.
Nah.
No, Tugler will be in those books.
Hey, Tugler. Appreciate you, man. In fact, we're going to hear from Emmanuel Sharp when we come back. He has some nice words for Tugler. Could you not commit a game-changing mistake against Purdue? A potential game-changing mistake because, as I said, the Cougs actually, after a drop below double digits, actually built the lead back up until the final stretch. So it did not particularly kill them. It was just, oh, man, where the hell did that come from? But they found a way. So we'll hear from Emmanuel Sharp about JoJo Tugler and what he means to that team, which was very nice words considering he might have been known for that awful foul, except his teammates along with him were able to pull it out. So we'll hear from Emmanuel Sharp. We'll hear from Ime Udoka as well. The Rockets split the weekend. As Vernon Maxwell says, they got their revenge on MGK. That's his nickname for Tyler Hero. Unfortunately, Jamal Murray isn't Tyler Hero, and he has something to say about that big matchup last night that did not feature Jokic. So we're just getting started here on the show. If you want to get in on anything, you can, 713-780-3776. The Texans have signed another offensive lineman who isn't good. But, hey, just throwing bodies at the problem to see if they can fix it. And we do have word, at least initially, about some Astros who are on the team, some that aren't. And, of course, the most important player to a lot of you, according to Jim Bowden, will be on the team, but that isn't official as yet. So a lot to get to here as we're just getting started. We will be back.
Kane is in the building.
This is the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
Before we get to more tournament stuff and Rocket stuff, at least on the court, the Rockets owner, Tilman Fertitta, looks like he's going to resign from being CEO of Landry's when he becomes the U.S. ambassador to Italy. So I'll ask you, Sean. Tougher job, ambassador to Italy or CEO of Landry's? I'm not really sure what he's going to do as the ambassador to Italy. I mean, maybe he just meets with Italian politicians and the Italian delegation. I'm not sure what he's going to offer as far as the American perspective about what's going on in Italy. But that apparently is his role. Doesn't that mean you get stationed over there too? So is Tillman not going to be able to go to playoff games?
I'm sure he can.
Will he be able to fly back and go to playoff games?
Come on.
What if some important international thing happens in Italy and it's during the first round of the playoffs? Does he shirk his responsibilities as ambassador to come root on his Rockets?
Well, I typed in Italy current events on Google and then went to the news part. I'll be honest.
Nothing going on over there?
Not nothing. Nothing major.
If there's some U.S.-Italy confrontation, not necessarily a war, but confrontation about some policy, he better not be sitting courtside when it's Rockets, Wolves in the first round. You took on the responsibility. You got to do the job.
I'll just say when you type in Italy current events, there are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 of the 10 that pop up that are from like August of 2024.
I mean, if you're going,
maybe this is more about Google's search, how the search works, but doesn't seem like there's a ton of like super pressing stuff.
I mean, if you're going to be given that title, Italy's probably not a bad spot. There's not a lot going
on.
It's
top 10.
Like, don't send me into a war-torn country where there's actual things to be done. I don't want to have to speak to a country about getting hostages out of a certain place.
No. Or places that we have like a testy relationship with.
I don't need to talk to North Korea.
Yeah.
Or China. Or at this point, Canada. The ambassador to Canada may have a tougher job than the ambassador to Italy. Yeah. Whatever it might
be. I hope Vince Carter figures it out.
Yeah. Whatever it is, Italy's probably not a bad spot. So you know what? Now I'm reconsidering it. He's probably going to have plenty of time to get over here to watch Rockets game. I don't remember Woody Johnson watching the Jets in person, even though I wasn't really checking up on him. He might have been in the building for most of their home games. I just did not know.
But what was he watching?
I mean, it was bad football.
We're talking about, I mean, Rockets are going to be playing playoff games in 3 weeks. Like, come on.
It's true. It's true.
One of the headlines, this is from a week ago. Earthquakes in Naples. Is it safe to travel to southern Italy?
If they're earthquakes, I would say maybe no. Or yes. What's the infrastructure like in Italy? That's the knowledge I need to have. But if Americans get in trouble over there, is Tillman Fertitta going to talk with the Italian government about helping out Americans? Like, if there's some type of broke down palace situation in Italy for a couple of Americans, like, how would Tillman have handled the Brittany Griner situation in Russia? Would he have been on the ball, or would he be like, she shouldn't have done what she did. Not even going to – I got to know these things.
The thing is, he won't have to because he's doing Italy, not Russia.
I know he's doing Italy, but if I travel to Italy
– Yes, but
I do something really stupid and get myself in trouble, can I depend on Tillman Fertitta to keep me out of trouble and get me back home?
Knock over the hat of the Pope or whatever.
Isn't the Vatican its own country?
Yes, it is.
Yes. I don't know how I'm going
to – Less than a square mile.
Yeah, how am I going to – it's like Washington, D.C., just a separate place altogether, even though it's not that big. I don't know if I can trust the man if I'm the one in trouble over there.
Really? You're worried he's going to be like...
He might be too busy.
I was looking at Aaron Holiday's road home splits. And,
I don't know. He's got so many things to worry about.
Also, Bubba Gump, we're adding a new menu item.
Well, this is why he has to step down.
Oh, yeah, that's why.
He won't step down from running the Rockets. He does, although he probably isn't doing the day-to-day stuff anyway. He's got... a son for that.
He's like, you don't have to CC me on a lot of these emails.
Yeah, but he's taking his hand off the wheel of Landry's to help our country in relations with Italy. If he opens up a Bubba Gump in Italy, we riot.
It's corruption.
Oh, would that be so surprising? if a government had corruption. So there it is.
The Italian government.
If you guys notice a drop off in your service at Landry's or the food in general, now you know why. Because Tillman's got other things to worry about. He might have been worried.
The Rockets traded for Bradley Beal. What the hell just happened?
He's lost his mind. So there it is. I mean, we will see how that affects us. Probably not at all. Just be aware. Tillman's going to have your back in Italy if you cause trouble over there.
He was ordering veal parmesan. People thought he meant, I want Beal.
Yeah. And because he's living over there, the accent will pop up and people will get confused.
Oh, yeah.
Veal or Beal.
What if he comes back like someone who studied abroad and he has like a heavy Italian accent? Like he talks like one of the guys from the home country in The Godfather.
It's the only thing I'm looking for. It's the only thing I'm hoping for, honestly, to come out of this. I don't think much else will come out of it.
Starts talking like Vito Corleone.
But if he has to come back over here for his end of the year availability, presser, exit meeting, however the season goes, I want him to sound like he was trying to romance one of, what was her name?
Apollonia.
I want him to sound like that coming back.
And you ask me the day after my team gets eliminated from the playoffs.
I don't need a raspy voice.
Oh, okay.
I just want that sing-songy way that they always put on Italians in movies. I need that.
Oh, yes. Yes. We want the Kevin Durant.
It always sounds like they're singing a song as opposed to talking. If we get that out of him going over there, great. Speaking of his Rockets, they drop a game last night to the Jamal Murray-led Nuggets. No Jokic, who was unavailable. Apparently, he'll be back for their homestand. Rockets had a chance to win the season series. I think go up, 3.5 games on them in the what was it, 2.5? Either way, they had a chance to take a nice lead over them and the rest of the Western teams that are chasing them, and they didn't get it done. It was a tough third quarter. Jamal Murray went for 15 of his 32 in that quarter. The Nuggets, after being tied with the Rockets after the break, outscored them by 17 in that quarter. And the Rockets made it close. The Nuggets, much like the Cougs, had trouble dealing with pressure down the stretch. They did lose the Jamal Murray minutes early in the quarter, and then even when he came back, the offense was ineffective. He did get to the foul line. Jalen Green was playing pretty good defense on him. Jamal Murray drew a foul to give the Nuggets a 5-point lead after he made a couple free throws, and that was pretty much the breathing room they needed. So that's a disappointing loss for the Rockets. You have what many people consider the best player in the world not playing in the game, and you allow Jamal Murray, who has played better and better since, you would say, his Olympic failure. He was not good in the Olympics for Canada. He has improved steadily since that point, and that's the guy the Laker fans and the Lakers team remembers from the playoffs. He would rip their heart out. He did it several times in the fourth quarter of their last series. This time it happened in the third, and of course, as I said, he made a couple big free throws. So the Rockets at times were dominant on the boards. There's a couple possessions late in the third quarter as they were getting blown out at that point where they created multiple opportunities, and then even at the free throw line, it's rare you on two consecutive free throw, not attempts, but free throw. It was a couple of different times where had two free throws, they missed the first, and then they would miss the second, and they would force a foul, or they would get an offensive rebound to start another possession. That happened a couple times back to back. They just really could not convert. So we'll hear from Ime Udoka here on that. The lack of transition points and the fact that even when they did get offensive rebounds, they did not convert those into points.
Yeah, I mean, we got dominated in those two areas, rebounding and transition, fast break points. I mean, we end up 16 to 10 offensive rebounds, but they converted. We were only 3 for 14, and they were 7 for 13, so they doubled our points there. And then 14-0 transition areas we expect to do much better in, obviously, but you know, a poorly played game overall. I think very average first two quarters, and it's tied at halftime. So you're looking at that as a positive. We didn't play really good at all. And then obviously a terrible third quarter, and get yourself back in it in the fourth with the average quarter best. So some positives to take from that you know, we have a layup with about a minute and 51 seconds left to be a two-point game that we miss. And with that being said, how poorly we played overall, it's a good sign.
So more complimentary than you might have thought. Didn't play well. We're still in it. And, of course, the unsaid thing is, well, they didn't have the best player in the world. So maybe, just maybe, as well as DeAndre Jordan played filling in, just maybe if they had Jokic, how poorly you played would have turned it into a giant blowout as opposed to a game you fought back in. So I'm going to throw this at you, Sean, to see if we can actually talk about this and be normal about it and also acknowledge what's going on. Are we allowed to assess now that we're 72 games into the season that Jalen Green has maybe just incrementally improved as opposed to what people were suggesting because he went on another like 15 to 20 game stretch of being great? Now that we are 10 games away from the regular season being over and not one of those things where in his last 82 games, we know there was a whole summer between the stretches because, you know, part of why a season of 82 is a good measuring stick is it takes into account the ebbs and flows, wearing down, and credit to him for always playing. That's one of his greatest strengths. He will always be available, but that's part of how you judge a guy. How is he over the 82 in a season, not the 82 when there's a summer in between? But now that we are 72 games in, is it fair to say he's fine? He scored 30 last night, got to the free throw line 14 times. That's a rarity for him. Went 8 for 22, didn't shoot the ball well from the field or for three, but the free throw line helped him out. What we're at, kind of what we might expect from him, for about a 42% shooter, shooting better from three than he has in his career, 35%, and just over 21 points per game. He's fine.
Why do you hate Jalen Green?
I don't hate Jalen.
You hate Jalen.
I hate. Yeah, just, I hate the conversation around him.
You hate him so
because
I was waiting. I wasn't sure when you said, "Can we have a discussion and be normal about it?" I got excited because I thought you were going to say something about Şengün, and I was going to say, "Why do you hate Alperen Şengün?"
Either way, you got your question.
Win.
Either way,
yeah.
I mean, the Şengün triple double is it's one of those triple double. Okay, sure.
Sure. Why do you hate Alperen?
There it is. I gave it to you. See, look at me. He's got a triple double. Yes, that is a stat.
Can't believe you called him a fake all-star.
I did not say that. But how did he get there? How did he get to that triple-double? I watched the game. I watched the misses from the free throw line, the misses overall, the incessant throwing his head back, asking for calls. I saw all of that, too. And this is a regular season game. Do you think you're going to get any of that in the playoffs? It's been a great year all around for the Rockets. I do think at some point they're going to have to realize that stuff not happening.
Yeah. No,
the begging, the asking, the hoping that calls are going to go your way. If they're not happening now, guess what? Guess what's going to happen? So you might as well just run back on defense. The Şengün head back, arms out. What happened? Where's my call thing? Was a little tiresome last night. I will say that. It was over and over again in a game where I would say you weren't playing well enough to get those calls, at least not on the offense.
Yeah, I think it is something where it is like nothing's going my way, and so he especially leans more into the foul baiting stuff and the like looking for a call stuff.
The season started with him talking about he created a move to get more fouls.
Yeah,
that's how the season began. He like so a guy got taught. He was mentioned one of the coaches taught him a move where he can get to the foul line more. All right, man.
But I think there's a difference between trying to draw fouls and then the looking at the ref as the play's going on with your arms out. And I think he does more of the second thing when things are going wrong, where there's panic there. And this team's definitely going to lose game four of a series just because they're looking for calls the entire time. Maybe game two. They're going to lose a game in the series where it's the things are going wrong and they are looking for it's the Şengün looking for a call thing. Jalen Green gets hit and thinks it's a foul, slow to get back. There's just going to be that game where, Fred VanVleet's jumping into people on three-pointers and nothing's getting called and they're going to lose by 25.
We know what...
That's just going to happen.
We know in this town what the whistle is like when it changes in the playoffs for your best player. How that changed for him.
Mm-hmm.
That has to get cleaned up. As great as this season has been, they need to make that adjustment right now. Stop asking for it. It's been proven over 72, you're not getting them. For whatever reason, maybe you think you don't have a great whistle. We know certain teams have a good whistle. The Lakers have an elite whistle when it comes to what they get as opposed to what their opponents get. You got to cut that out. They got to figure it out. And Ime's talked about playing through that stuff. Stop whining. Of course, in the middle of a game, he's going to ask for calls, too. That's just how it works. But they've got, I don't know if you can figure it out in the next 10 games, but once the playoffs hit, it's going to get even worse if they don't adjust. Might as well start that adjustment right now. We'll hear from Ime because maybe part of it is inexperience for them. We'll hear his take on what happened last night. Was it due to inexperience or the Nuggets' experience or just sloppiness? We'll hear from the Rockets coach once again when we come back. So it turned into an overall team issue as opposed to me hating on Jalen Green as you thought it would. But once again, through 72 games, maybe we're just okay saying he's a fine player. He's a fine player. Not great, not elite, not even good. He's fine. He's good enough for this team right now. Right?
Mr. Right?
Was that reasonable to say? Or is that too much?
I mean, his numbers are very similar than they were last year, whereas disappointing. It's just he's 2% better from the three-point line, 1% better for his career. So he's a 35% three-point shooter this year, 34 for his career, 33 last season. Like you said, total field goal percentage, literally the exact same, and he scores 2 points more per game. I mean... I don't know.
And that's because he's shooting...
Same amount of assists, half a less rebound. It is remarkably similar how his years have been.
So he's shooting more threes. He's making about maybe half of one more than he did last year.
Yeah, basically he's shooting one more three per game and making half of it.
Yeah, and that accounts for
the
uptick in points, which is cool. He's cool. That's all I can say. Because I don't think he's bad. I just don't think he is what people think he is when he goes on one of his hot runs. The season will tell, and so far the season has told. He's pretty much, at least numbers-wise, the same guy we've seen over the last couple of years. Okay. You know what is different? It's spring, and you know where you go to get a great car with spring savings? Monument Chevrolet. You can check them out at monumentchevrolet.com. When I say check them out, I mean all the vehicles. You can check out the entire inventory. And, of course, you want to check out those vehicles in person and talk to the great people at Monument Chevrolet. Go out to Pasadena off of Beltway 8 and 225. So once you get out there, once you've made the choice on a vehicle, you might run into Sammy, their salesperson of the week. He's very personable. He is a Spanish speaker, so if you'd rather do business in Spanish, he can help you. But all the people out there are great. And that is not just the sales staff, but the people who work in parts and in service. So if you have a vehicle and you want to take it there, you're going to meet people who are going to treat you like family. And that's beyond the buying process, which is sometimes can be arduous if you are someone who hasn't bought a car before or knows that buying cars can be a little tricky. They're going to walk you through the process and make it as easy for you as possible, because once you step foot on that lot, you are family to them, and they want you to be family for as long as you're out there. MonumentChevrolet.com is a website. They're off of Beltway 8 and 225 in Pasadena. And the spring savings are this. Off on the Chevy Silverado 1500, you get employee pricing. So you get to pay what the employees pay when they want one of those great trucks. So go to the website, check them out, and all they have to offer. And remember this, Chevrolet, together let's drive.
You're listening to the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
Willie P., I see you. You want to talk about the U.S. trash performances over the weekend? We can do that. Do want to get to these tweets before we get to him. If you want to get in, you can. 713-780-3776. I haven't given out our Twitter handles in a while. If you want to tweet Sean, you can. Sean A. Mapes, who currently is fifth in our bracket madness. So tweet him all your basketball questions, at least college basketball questions. And, of course, I am at Del V2. So Dream Shake says this. Don't let Homer Rockets fans fool you. Jalen Green has not improved, in my opinion. Same guy. Maybe more effort on the defensive end, but that is all. And Art says Ime needs to tell Alperen to stop. Ask him. And him asking the bench to review every play is ridiculous. You can take the boy out of Europe, but can't take the Euro out of the boy. I wouldn't say that's unique to European players, although Luka is a prime offender as well. It happens. I think the Rockets in general, and maybe it's because we watch them all the time. You know, if I watch more Pistons basketball, they might complain all the time,
too. I was going to say, this is just what happens when you watch one team.
Yes, when all you year. Watch them nearly 70 games a year at this point this season, you see a lot of their kind of their tics and what and their habits, and the habit is right now to ask for a call all the time. Got to get over that with the playoffs coming up. This is a young player. Hopefully that improves. Let's get to Willie P here. What's up, Willie P?
Hey, good morning, Dale. How you doing, man?
I'm good. How are you?
You know, I could be better. You know, the weekend was ruined by the U.S. Men's National Team. Although I did get to see my dad play college basketball at University of Maryland, so it was cool to watch his alma mater, you know, hit that game winner last night versus Colorado State. But besides that, let's talk about Mauricio Berhalter, or we can call him Greg Pochettino. I don't know what you want to call him, but good grief, damn it, man. What are we doing? What are we doing? I mean, did anybody look at that Canada lineup? I mean, did anybody look at that Panama lineup? This is outrageous. We've got a World Cup coming up in a year, just over a year, and this is what we're doing. This is what we're doing for real. I mean, I get it. It was a cute story with Patrick Agumayang, whatever, out there. I mean, he had, what, four or five chances. He could have won that game single-handedly by himself, and he didn't. I mean, we have got to get these players out of the MLS and get them into Europe, or we will always get the same results over and over again. And it's just disgusting, man. And then they got the Gold Cup this summer, and we got the Confederations Cup. Like, I'm not gonna lie, it sucked to watch Mexico win yesterday. I'm like, I take Raul Jimenez over anybody, over any of the strikers US got right now. Even Balogun, who's injured. It's just trash. They need to do better. I'm sorry. I'm glad I got the vent. Also, shout out to La Salsa, my favorite Willie Rider. You guys have a great day, Sean A. Mace. What it do, baby?
If you missed it, and yeah, a lot of you probably did with the tournament going on, the U.S. lost their third-place match to Canada yesterday. They lost 2-1 in the Nations League. The game before, they lost to Panama. So in this window where they bring the players in, it's the international window, which simply means, unless you're like an MLS, a lot of the big leagues around the world, they allow their players, if they're called in, to go play for their nation without it affecting them in league. They don't miss time. Like the big leagues in Europe have this break. So the U.S. called in some of their best. Of course, you heard Willie P say they played some MLS players, and it didn't go well. I can't find myself to care. It doesn't look good. We heard Willie P mention the Gold Cup. That's their next opportunity to get together and have an extended camp, try to figure some things out. But it's really about how we get to the World Cup and what we look like. And you always want to win, particularly in CONCACAF, where you think you should dominate. I can't work up the emotion. I've seen them win Nations League and it mean nothing in the World Cup or even Copa America that was played here. I'd rather win, but I'm not that sad about losing, as evidenced by me not watching a minute of yesterday's game. Couldn't find myself to care. Couldn't make myself care.
Them playing it in the middle of the first and second round of the NCAA tournament, good job.
I don't know when you put it, seeing as how it is this international window.
So no, but good job. I mean, good job losing when no one in America cares.
It's Friday news dump. Who cares? No one cares.
Yeah.
Yes, it's barely a story. Like, Pochettino, the new manager, says, yes, we would rather win, but he doesn't feel pessimistic. Look, just get him ready for 2026. And if you have a good run there, no one's going to care about losing to Panama again. And Landon Donovan took to Twitter to talk about, I've heard about all this talent. It's not just basketball where the old guys have something to say. It's all the sports and soccer, not immune. And he went to Twitter to talk about, hey, we hear about all this talent, but passion means more than talent. So if you don't want to play for the shirt and dig in, don't take the call up. We'll get someone else. Mm. Okay. I'm sure if I go through all of Landon Donovan and U.S. performances, they are all stellar.
Yeah.
They never lost a game they shouldn't have lost, right?
They probably always beat Panama every single time. Probably not a Panama loss in the 2000s.
Never went to Trinidad and Tobago and put on a poor performance. Nope. Never happened before. There's so many things going on in terms of, do we have too many guys who aren't really like U.S. guys because they could be dual citizenship. They could be playing for England, like our best left back. I don't think he played, Anthony Robinson. Spent his entire life in England. He has an English accent, but he plays for the U.S. So it's stuff like that that pisses off some of the old guard where they're not true Americans, stuff mm-hmm. like that. It started under Klinsmann. It's still going now, and guys still haven't gotten over it.
It is an interesting, I guess it's not really debate, but an interesting like conversation of the way to get better players is to, let's just say, flip some commitments to
sure.
hit the recruiting trail on some of these guys who could not play for England or Germany. Anthony Robinson probably could play for England.
At this point, maybe not when he first decided, but now, likely.
And then, hey, if you want to play in a World Cup, you're basically your only chance
is
to
with
do
us.
It, is to do it for the U.S. And so you are getting better.
But
I do think there is a little something. Like, f- 5% truth to the Landon Donovan. Now, the, oh, how talented these guys are, that, whatever. That's sour grapes. But the actually, like, care, because, like, if you or I just, for whatever reason, got drafted to play for some other country, like, we would care less than if it was for America.
So, we can put it to you like this. My father, Nigerian, but I grew up here. I played youth soccer, obviously never good enough to reach those levels. But if it came down to it, and for whatever reason, I could not play for the U.S. for whatever reason, and Nigeria came calling, I'd think to myself, how would I feel hearing the Nigerian national anthem as opposed to the U.S. national anthem, putting on that jersey? Plenty of guys have done it in this situation where they choose one because this is the one that's given the opportunity, yeah. And you would say they put in max effort, at least they would tell you that. But there's always that little thing in people's minds, well, was this really your first choice?
Yeah, they're not going to be crying in the locker room.
Yeah, is it affecting you the same, or is it a chance to play in the World Cup, and that's why you're playing for them?
And these guys, like, they also have professional careers, and so playing in a World Cup or playing on a bigger stage on a national team, having that opportunity can advance your actual career.
Yes, it's the Gershon Yubaselli scenario.
Exactly.
The current Sixer who was out of the NBA showed out for France and got an NBA contract from the Sixers.
I was thinking James Rodriguez.
James
from Colombia.
Who wound up playing for the best clubs in the world and kind of flaming out.
Wasn't good for any of them.
Yeah.
He was good one summer.
But he was a star for the Colombian national team and turned that into a career playing for what, Real?
Yes, Real. And then I also think like Bayern Munich also took a chance. He was like it's like a former first-round pick getting passed around for 5 years
sure.
where every GM is taking a chance on him. But I mean, I would think that that's what some of these guys are thinking when they do play in some of these tournaments. Now, not Nations League or whatever, but in some of these tournaments where it is like, hey, this is my chance to, you know, if I score 2 goals in 3 matches, like, I might be playing for Real Madrid next year.
Yeah, think of it as a high school football player going to a camp.
Yeah, it's like a showcase.
Yeah. These tournaments, even if they're not the World Cup, can be showcases for future earnings. And of course, if you play in a World Cup, that's always on your resume, and guys want to do that. And like I said, there's a question about, are they passionate enough if they didn't grow up on the streets of insert random U.S. city, and you were actually, you also actually spent most of your time in London.
They're not from Smallville.
There's only one person from Smallville that we care about, Lana Lang. But because Superman's not from Smallville, he's from Krypton.
He's someone who naturalized citizens. He could play for the Kryptonian team.
Exactly, and when he hears that U.S.
he
national
make the
anthem,
roster.
Yeah, Kryptonians solid. A football club.
Athletes everywhere.
Exactly. So there it is. It was not a great couple of matches for the U.S. national team. It'll go by the wayside. The pundits, mostly the former players, will be very upset. We do this thing over and over again. And then, of course, we will either delude ourselves about what could happen in the World Cup or be dead on, just depending on which side of the coin you're in. You're on. But whatever. Nations League over. Good luck in the Gold Cup. All right. That wraps up hour one for us. We will actually come back with that Ime Udoka sound, talking about will inexperience be a problem for them, or was it something else, particularly last night against the Nuggets, who could be a matchup for them if the Rockets fall further down in the standings. Only a game up on the Nuggets, could have gone up 3, but only a game up on them now. We'll get to hour two when we come back.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.